Part 2. Rainy. Chapter 7. For a long while after Cork has left, heading back to Aurora to dig into the mystery of the man claiming to be Dolores's husband, Rainy sits with Henry in the sunshine on the bench next to his door. Henry is quiet, intent on the work of sharpening the blade of his hatchet. Rainy has taken Dolores to Leah's cabin, where the woman will lie down for a while to rest. Rainy is exhausted. Guiding a sweat is a serious responsibility, physically and emotionally demanding. This one was especially difficult, but not because of Dolores. Rainy found herself restless, distracted, and she's still uncertain why. Her own unsettled spirit didn't seem to affect the other woman's experience, and for that she's grateful.
"You remind me of a butterfly and a flower, niece," Henry finally says, looking up from his work.
"What do you mean, uncle?"
"Your wings never stop moving, but you go nowhere. A sweat should calm the spirit."
"I wasn't able to focus."
"Something is troubling you?"
"Yes, but I can't put my finger on it."
"A sweat is usually a good way to do just that."
"Not this time." Following the sweat, she and Dolores both dipped themselves in the icy water of Iron Lake, and her body has cooled. She lays her head back against the logs of the cabin wall, closes her eyes, and lets the late afternoon sun lay its warm hand fully on her face.
"Maybe your heart absorbed the troubles of the other woman's heart. That happens sometimes."
"Maybe." She opens her eyes and is blinded a moment by the sun. "I wonder what's going on. Why did someone pretend to be her husband?"
"Your husband will find this out, I think."
Rainy smiles. "You called him a blind fox."
"He sees well enough when he needs to."
Henry grows still, his gaze set on the hard blue of the lake visible through the poplars and birches that edge the shoreline. Then his head shifts toward the wall of pines to the north. His face is like a sheet of paper that has been crumpled tightly, then opened, full of 100 wrinkles and creases. His dark eyes squint, but not from the glare of the sun. He seems to be looking intently at something, or perhaps for something.
"What is it, Uncle?"
For nearly a minute, Henry doesn't answer, just stares.
"Your restlessness in the sweat, niece. Tell me about it."
Rainy closes her eyes again, thinking, "It wasn't like anything I've experienced before. In sweats, everything goes soft in me. My concerns melt away. My spirit finds a place of peace. But not this time. This time I seem to be standing before a door that wouldn't open for me, and I was glad it wouldn't open because on the other side was something terrible." She takes a deep breath. "That's never happened in a sweat before." Henry is listening, but his eyes are on the woods across the meadow. Rainy checks on Dolores, then rejoins Henry on the bench. "She's sleeping. The sweat was good for her." Even if her own experience was unsettling, Rainey's relieved to know that the sweat was helpful to Dolores. She likes the woman who is smart and open and who wants desperately to mend the cracks in her marriage. It's clear she loves her husband, and that's always a good beginning. Henry hasn't replied, and she sees that the old man's attention is distant.
"Uncle," she says.
"Talk. I hear."
But he doesn't look at her.
"I'm going to begin making supper."
"Wait,"
Henry says. His voice is low and hard.
"What is it, Henry?" she asks.
"That door you stood before in your sweat. I think it is about to open."
He has not told them why, as they roll and tie a blanket for each of them. Rainey has roused Dolores, who obeys without asking questions. Though the day has warmed, Henry has instructed each of them to bring a jacket. While Dolores prepares herself, Rainey helps Henry put items into a canvas knapsack, jerky, biscuits left from an earlier meal, a bag of dried cranberries and nuts. Henry puts in a box of kitchen matches and the flint and steel he sometimes uses in starting his fires inside the stone ring. He takes a sheathed hunting knife from a wall shelf and puts that in as well.
"Niece," he says to Rainey, "my hatchet is outside. Bring it."
Just before they leave his cabin, he lifts the old Winchester from the wall pegs that cradle it, scoops cartridges from the tin can where he stores them, and drops the rounds into a pocket of his coat. Rainey is frightened, but she doesn't question Henry. She has seen him this way before, quiet but commanding, and she understands that whatever his purpose, it's for the safety of them all. The final thing Henry picks up to take with him is his beaded deerhide medicine bag. Dolores is waiting, her blanket rolled and tied and slung over her shoulder. When Rainey and Henry join her, she says, "I don't know what's going on, but I'm afraid."
"We are going into the woods,"
Henry says quietly but firmly.
"We are safer there."
"Safer from what?" Dolores asks.
"From a man who pretends to be your husband, but is not. And others, I think. They are coming."
"How," she begins. Rainey cuts her off. "If Henry says someone's coming, then someone's coming. We need to go." Before they leave, Rainey tries to call Cork on her cell phone, but the service fails her completely. They head into the meadow.
"Niece, you and Dolores Morisseau go that way."
Henry points toward the tallest pine along the distant tree line.
"Walk 10 feet apart."
"Why?" Dolores says. She's a smart woman, Rainey understands, and her questions are not unreasonable. But Dolores doesn't know Henry. "Just do as he asks," Rainey says, trying to keep her voice even.
"Wait for me when you get there,"
Henry adds. Rainey and Dolores split off and separate themselves. They move through the wild meadow grass quickly while Henry moves along another line. Rainey can see that altogether they are making several lines of exodus, none very clear. A few minutes later, they all meet at the tall pine.
"What now, Uncle?" Rainey asks. "We wait."
Henry sits. A low growth of sweet gale separates them from the meadow, providing a good blind. Dolores sits too. Rainey lets the knapsack slide from her shoulders to the ground. She takes a leaf and crushes it between her fingers, releasing a sharp scent. She has often used the plant leaves as an insect repellent and also as a remedy in healing stomach aches and other internal ailments. Behind the shielding of these plants, she feels protected. She would love to question Henry, but it's clear that silence is what he expects of her now. Dolores admitted to being afraid. Rainey is afraid, too. She's been in danger before, several times, in fact, since she fell in love with Cork. She knows that Cork is Ogajada, one who stands between evil and his people. Although Henry was once a legendary hunter and certainly still has a warrior spirit, she can't help wishing that Cork was with them behind that blind of sweet gale. Like wolves on the hunt, just as the sun is about to set, they finally show themselves. Two men come from the direction of the trail that leads to the double trunk birch. One comes from the east, the direction of Alouette. The last comes from the end of the point, from the lake. They're all dressed in hunter's camouflage and carry rifles. She can see that their intent in approaching this way is to prevent anyone from escaping, to pen them like sheep for the slaughter. Her stomach has drawn taut, not just with fear, but with outrage. She would love to leap into the meadow and challenge their presence in this place that is dedicated to healing. But like Henry, she sits and watches from behind the blind. They converge on the cabins, checking Leah's first, then Henry's. They check the outhouse. Then one of them walks the path through the rock outcroppings to Henry's fire ring and then to the sweat lodge. They reconvene at the cabins and appear to hold a council. Among three of the men, there is some arguing. Rainey can see the gesticulations, and although they're too far away for her to discern words, she can hear raised voices. There's a bit of shoving, which one man, maybe the leader of the group, puts a quick halt to. The fourth man has stood apart from the others. He has been studying the ground, kneeling here and there in the slanting orange rays of the setting sun. As the others argue, he walks slowly away from them, his attention glued to the ground as he approaches the meadow. He pauses at the edge of the tall, wild grass, lifts his eyes, looks a bit to the left, then to the right. It occurs to Rainey that he may be trying to see the trail she and her companions have left. Then his gaze slowly tracks across the edge of the tree line and comes to rest on the blind of Sweet Gale. Henry whispers,
"It is time for us to go."